So what advances in North Korea's missile technology can we glean from this test? Melissa Hannam is a senior research associate at Middlebury Institute for International Studies at Monterey in California. She joined me earlier. Melissa Hannam, thank you for joining the world today. What type of missile was tested by North Korea on this occasion?
Based on the early information about how far it went, how high it went, and how long it flew, it looks very much like an intercontinental ballistic missile, or ICBM.
And what was the trajectory and the range? What do you know about those details?
Well, it looks like North Korea tested it in a similar way to their previous two ICBM tests, which is to say that they launched at very, very high altitude and then had it land just west of Japan. So this is one of the cases where they chose not to fly over Japan, but rather test very, very high altitude. We call it a lofted trajectory.
And what's the significance of that?
It's sort of a crude way of testing how far a missile can go without sort of wading through the political ramifications of flying over Japan. They have done some of their intermediate range tests over Japan, but they may be feeling that it's still too sensitive to test an ICBM over Japan. And so because they're shooting so high in the air, and if you remember a little bit of high school calculus, you'll remember that the curve over a very high altitude curve, you could readjust to go very far over the Earth instead. This is one of the ways they do a kind of crude test to see whether they can have this extended range.
Okay, you say it's crude. What are the other factors that would come into play if North Korea wanted to translate this high trajectory into a long reach, if you like?
So one of the unknowns about North Korea's ICBMs is whether the heat shield on the reentry vehicle is rigorous enough, sturdy enough to handle the warhead. When you launch an ICBM, you actually leave the Earth's atmosphere, go into space, and then come back into Earth to deliver a warhead. If your heat shield isn't good enough, then your warhead will burn up in the atmosphere before it reenters. And there's a lot of speculation about whether North Korea has a working reentry vehicle or not. I tend to err on the side of caution and think that they probably do. And mostly that's a policy decision on my part. Even though there's no specific evidence that suggests they officially can have a working RV, I think from a policy perspective, we don't want to be caught by surprise. And the RV is not the most complex or difficult part of the missile. So it's probably a fair assumption to assume they can do it.
So could this missile in its current form, notwithstanding some of those other issues, reach major cities of mainland United States?
Yeah, even with their earlier tests in 2017, a lot of groups that are working in the open source believe they had a range of around 10,000 kilometers. If the numbers that are coming in now hold, we expect that this could reach 13,000 kilometers. It's enough of a difference that it may be possible that they have altered or adapted their previous ICBM, known as the Hwasong-14, although it's very likely that this is the exact same missile that they tested earlier this year, and they've done some other things like maybe lighten the payload or adjust the fuel or something similar that would allow it to go farther than it did in the past.
Now, the North Koreans want to put a miniaturized nuclear warhead on top of any missile that they eventually decide can do the job for them. Where are they at with their nuclear developments?
We suspect that North Korea is very far along for what has been estimated in the past. There is no such thing as a small or inconsequential nuclear weapon. And so since 2006, we've known they've been able to make a nuclear explosion. A lot of the questions were around whether they could make that explosive device small enough to put on a missile. We definitely saw them earlier this year in September explode the biggest device that we had ever seen before. The yield was many times larger than the one that was dropped on Hiroshima by the United States. There is probably no small nuclear weapon. And I think For North Korea, they just have to be threatening enough that they can be taken seriously.
And so at this stage, how much of a threat would you say North Korea's missile and nuclear program combined is to the United States, but also to the wider region, for example, Australia?
I think that the biggest risk to the wider world is the threat of a misunderstanding or miscalculation. There is nothing to indicate that North Korea wants to use these weapons unless they feel that there is no other option. So the biggest risk for us is that they would misinterpret the activities of the U.S. and its allies, or that the U.S. and allies would respond to a test or a provocation by North Korea that would slip into war. So some of the scenarios that I feel most concerned about are if North Korea does an atmospheric test of a nuclear warhead by putting it on a missile and testing it. The only way for them to demonstrate officially beyond a doubt that their reentry vehicle protecting the warhead works and that the warhead is small enough to fit on a missile is for them to launch a live nuclear weapon on a missile, probably into the Pacific Ocean. If that test were to not go as planned or to damage someone, an ally, that would be one of the most dangerous scenarios to me.
Melissa Hannam, thank you very much for joining the world today.
Thank you for having me.
Melissa Hannam researches North Korea's weapons programs at the Middlebury Institute for International Studies at Monterey.